Hello, this is Pastor Patrick Hines, and I'm up here in beautiful Abingdon, Virginia, and my daughter is at a birthday party, and here's the view I've got right here. And it's just glorious, but it's also raining, so I'm going to do a brief devotion as I'm sitting here. There's like a barn over there, and they're doing some dancing and stuff, but I wanted to do a little devotion. From Romans chapter 5, verses 6 and following here. For when we were still without strength, when we were still helpless, is what that term means, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. And that parallels directly what is said in Romans 4 and 5, God who justifies the wicked. Now, that's an amazing thing because it raises an important question that says in the Proverbs, he who justifies the wicked is an abomination. And that's speaking about it, obviously, in judicial proceedings, things like that. But God does what his word calls an abomination. Now, how can he do that? Well, it's the beautiful soul-saving concept of imputation. Imputation or legal crediting or charging. And Jesus, when he died on the cross, all of the sins of his people were legally charged to his account before God. It's as if we all have an account of our persons in God's sight, like a legal ledger in God's sight. When we're born into this world, we have original sin. And then out of that sinful nature, all of our actual sins proceed. And we're accountable for both. We're accountable for Adam's sin, as well as our own sin and the sin nature that we inherited from Adam. And so at the right time when we were helpless, Christ died for the ungodly, it says. And then verse 7 says, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet perhaps for a good man, someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God justifies the wicked while they're still wicked. And he does that by imputing, legally crediting, righteousness to their account, the righteousness of Jesus Christ to their account in his sight. And by legally crediting their sin to Christ at the cross of Calvary 2,000 years ago outside the city of Jerusalem, where Jesus was nailed to the cross and died. That is the only hope of a sinful soul, that beautiful, glorious concept of imputation. God does not charge our sins to us. He charged them to his Son. And that's why when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he prayed, it's possible, let this cup pass from me. He knew how awful it was going to be legally held responsible for all the sins that his people had committed. And then Paul has that triumphant statement, Romans 5:9, one of my favorite verses in the whole Bible. Much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the wrath of God will not fall upon those whom God justifies, even though they're inherently still wicked. Yes, born again by God's Spirit and in the process of being sanctified, but still wicked, still falling short of his glory. Paul speaks of this in Romans 4:6-8, just as David speaks of the blessedness of the man to whom God imputes righteousness apart from works. Blessed is the man whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. So when we say that basic statement, Jesus died for our sins, what that statement means is Jesus was legally held accountable by the Father for our sins. And that's why he died on the cross. It was not for his own sins. It was for the sins of his people that he bled and suffered and died while we were helpless, so that God would justify the wicked. God doesn't justify the righteous because there are no righteous people. not in the sense of satisfying his law. There are no righteous people in that sense. But he justifies the wicked by imputing the righteousness of Christ into their legal account in God's sight, and by not charging their sins against them. That's why Paul makes that wonderful statement. I think about it. I reflect on it regularly. Romans 8:33. Who will bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? I gotta look. You gotta see it, this beautiful scene here. See that? That's what I'm looking at while I'm talking to you. Is that not beautiful? Indeed, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows forth his handiwork. So I was just sitting here looking at all this beauty. What a beautiful place. I've never been here before, this part of Abington, Virginia. And it's just glorious. And just thinking about heaven and being able to go to heaven one day. Not because I'm righteous, I'm wicked. Yes, I'm thankful that God has done tremendous work in my life and has sanctified me and helped me overcome a lot of sin, but I'm so far from perfect. My only hope is that God justifies the wicked, and he does that because he charged my sins against Jesus, and he charged Jesus' righteousness to my account. And therefore, God is just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. He can declare me righteous because I am hidden in Jesus Christ. I'm no longer in Adam. I'm in Christ. And I bless and praise God's holy name for it. That's the message that this culture needs so badly. It's the message that the church has got to focus on and preach. I mean, it seems to be the one thing everyone's forgetting. So, oh, also, real quick, I finished another book today. I finally finished editing my sermons on Nehemiah, and I've got the paperback, the hardback, and the Kindle edition should be out maybe by tomorrow, but they've all been submitted to Amazon Direct Publishing, so you can look for those on Amazon. But oh man, this sunset is just glorious. It's just so beautiful here. But God is good. So thankful for the gospel. Without the gospel, where would we be? Oh, the sun is peaking here. You gotta see this. Look at this. See it right there? The sun starting to peek out. Glorious. Anyway, thanks for watching or listening.